5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. I'm Steven.
I'm Matt.
Hello, Matt.
We are twins.
And it is fitting that we are twins, only in this instance of being Septwimber.
It is Septwimber.
So welcome, everybody, back to the Radcast, where we're going to be talking about our second entry into Septwimber. Thank you all for listening last week. I hope you enjoyed kind of a riff on an Olsen Twins movie.
Yeah.
Passport to Paris.
We had a lot of fun with that one.
I was chomping at the bit to listen to it as you were editing, and it did not disappoint.
Yeah.
Excellent. Hopefully it didn't disappoint any of you out there, and hopefully you've come back to us this week.
I don't know how it could disappoint
you. No, it's impossible for us to disappoint anybody.
A great ep. Real great ep.
Yes, very much.
Funny ep.
Yes, but on to this ep. As you say, Steven.
Come on.
Okay, all right. Well, on to
abbreviate
this. Okay, on to this episode. Welcome everybody back in. This week we're talking about switching goals.
Yes.
Which we had mentioned last week in Passport to Paris that this movie came out at the same time. This one was it was straight to video, quote unquote.
It's like a Wonderful World of Disney.
Wonderful World of Disney movie. Yeah. So it was released on the Wonderful World of Disney, shown for the first time in 1999.
Yeah.
But it technically on VHS was released in 2000.
Right.
So there's that.
Yeah.
But as you also heard last week, we all kind of got, Matt and I kind of got into kind of the shit that the Olsen twins had to put up with.
Yeah.
With their production company, Dual Star, kind of what sounds like their production schedule was.
Yeah.
And how, at least according to the bloopers of Passport to Paris and some of their, in retrospect, comments, did not have a good time making these movies.
No, they've been in the spotlight since they were little babies.
Mm-hmm.
And needless to say, by the time you turn 13 and that's been your whole life, you're probably over it.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know how they felt about making Switching Goals, but I'll tell you how I felt about watching Switching Goals.
I quite enjoyed
it. It's a fine movie. It's less boring than Passport to Paris, and it's a little shorter.
Yes.
So that's nice.
The performances are better than Passport to Paris.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And the funny bits actually hit more than they don't.
Mm-hmm. There's some actually like pretty funny, like genuinely funny parts in this movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, I like the dynamic between those two people, or this character, is very charming in this way. But it's probably more well known than Passport to Paris.
Yeah.
But what the hell do I know? These movies weren't made for me.
You don't know anything.
No, exactly. I wasn't the Olsen fans connoisseur that some of our female listeners might have been.
Yes.
But to me, this one I've seen a few more times than Passport to Paris, when we just would watch movies to riff them and didn't have a podcast.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about Switching Goals.
Let's do it.
So it first premiered on December 12th, 1999, as we said, on The Wonderful World of Disney. For those of you that may not be aware, The Wonderful World of Disney was a Sunday night movie series, movies presented by Disney, whether they were made to be in theaters for Disney or made to be Disney originals or whatever.
Yeah.
Wonderful World of Disney for a little bit was part of our Sunday night viewing. So I remember when this aired. I don't remember if we watched it, but
garbage picking, field goal kicking, Philadelphia phenomenon
with Tony Danza. I remember watching that
Tupac's best friend.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I saw that on Instagram. Yeah.
I mean, they weren't best friends, but Tupac considered him a really good friend.
Something like Angels in the Infield or Angels in the End Zone or something like that. Movies commissioned by Disney.
Yeah.
But Switching Goals, released December 12th, 1999, directed by David Steinberg, starring Mary-Kate Olsen as Sam Stanton, Ashley Olsen as Emma Stanton, Catherine Greenwood as Denise Stanton.
MVP of the whole movie.
Oh, yeah. Eric Lutz as Jerry Stanton, also of Caroline in the City fame.
Yes.
He also played their dad in Two of a Kind.
Yeah. Del Cassidy from Caroline in the City.
Yeah. Trevor Blumas as Greg Jeffries, not two-time MLB All-Star, 1990 league leader in doubles.
Greg Jeffries, you know.
Yeah.
Easily confused.
Yeah, Keith Knight of Meatballs fame as Willard Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Grafasi as Dave. Just Dave Island.
Dave?
I think at the end, it's revealed his name is Dave Island.
Which one's Dave Island?
He's the guy who, my shoes are melting
from Batman Forever. What is this guy from?
The guy who works for Jerry at a sporting goods store.
Yeah.
And no box office, like we said, because this was a Wonderful World of Disney movie. So what was on the VHS?
What
was on the VHS, you ask? So an advertisement for Mary-Kate and Ashley video series and movies. So like we mentioned on last week, the Passport to Paris VHS, which I know I was saying, well, there was like 15 videos. But no, actually with their movies, there was probably closer to like 25. So
it's actually 50.
Yeah. So there's 8 You're Invited and 11 at Mary-Kate and Ashley Adventures. And that's, of course, not counting their movies.
Right.
So there's at least 25 Mary-Kate and Ashley video items on the shelf.
Yeah.
During this time.
Yep.
So advertisement for Passport to Paris on VHS, which of course we covered last week. On VHS and DVD, Pokemon the first movie.
Oh.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah. Next, Scooby-Doo meets the Boo Brothers, which was just the first time VHS release of an 80s Scooby-Doo cartoon.
Not the Booger Boys.
Not the Booger Boys. That's right. The Booger Boys, our duffel bags will be a hot seller this holiday season.
Duffel bags.
Yes. Available for purchase on video. 2 brand new Powerpuff Girl videos with 5 episodes each.
All right.
This fall, Scooby-Doo and the Alien Invaders.
Yes.
Which it's cool because this video probably came out early 2000, so it's already saying this fall.
Yeah.
So.
What VHS did we have?
There was another one. I can't remember.
Don't worry about it.
It's going to be a Warner Brothers production of some sort. Next, the advertisement we're reading where Mary-Kate can't get her nose out of a book, which we mentioned last week, including their first autobiography, in quotes, because I don't think they had anything to do with writing it, called Our Story.
I would love to read that.
I'm sure you can probably find it on eBay.
How ridiculous it is.
Maybe look through your Scholastic Book Fair catalog.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Next, Mary-Kate and Ashley dolls with multiple outfits and accessories. And that's it. That's it for what's on the VHS. So the movie jumps in right in on a parent-child picnic. Mary-Kate and Ashley are looking around and asking themselves if they're too old for this baby shit. A man then runs up to them and says, it's time for the wheelbarrow race.
Who was that guy?
Who is that guy? We're then shown a woman behind a popcorn table wearing a turban and guessing the fortunes of the children trying to get a bag of popcorn.
Popcorn.
She's doing a whole Karnak bit from the Johnny Carson show.
Which I didn't remember who this character was. And I was like, oh, is this like a fortune-telling character?
Nope.
It's just something she's doing at the picnic.
She's just doing it. It's just random. It's their mom.
Yeah. Which, as the movie goes on, you see how funny the mom is. It's like, oh, that's just even funnier.
Yeah, exactly. So, she's telling the fortune of children.
Yeah.
Back with the twins and the man, they refer to him as dad and say they're tired and don't want to film any more movies. Participate in the wheelbarrow race. Their dad, Jerry, then says, nonsense. The hundreds of people who work for you have families to feed, and their futures are dependent on your success. Did Ted Williams sit out his last game of the year he hit 400 just to preserve his average? This illustration confuses Emma, the Prissy twin.
Yeah.
Anyway,
she's the Prissy one because she wears sunglasses. And you know Sam's the athletic one because she wears a bandana.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you just said sunglasses because, of course, they're sunglasses because later in the movie at the soccer tryouts, Sam says, and lose the glasses. And Emma's like, oh. And I was like,
oh.
Doesn't she need those to see?
No, they're sunglasses.
Okay. I mean, that's why I said it just made sense. You said sunglasses.
Yes.
I don't know because – she's wearing glasses. I don't know. I'm still going to read what I wrote.
Yes.
So whatever glasses. Anyway, their dad convinces Sam, the tomboy, because he's wearing a bandana, to compete in the race. She says, okay, and off they go. Back to the turban lady. She's guessing a child will be a dancer when she grows up. The child gets indignant and says, "Who would want to be a dancer?"
To which I was like, "Huh?
Are you kidding me?
There's who'd probably want to be a dancer?
There's a lot of little girls who take dance classes who want to be a dancer, whether it's ballet.
There's a lot of little me's that want to be a dancer.
I loved watching NSYNC's dance moves.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, it's a, but people want to be backup dancers.
Me now wants to be a dancer. Me now.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a dumb thing to be like, who would want to be a dancer? Which I think is silly because, like, this is geared towards little girls, and a lot of little girls, you know, more notably to a lot of people, are wanting to be dancers.
Pish posh little girl. Stage doesn't deserve
pish
it.
Pish posh. She's like,
you don't deserve the stage.
Yeah, she's like, try astronaut. And the woman says, oh, it looks like you already know what you want. So she tells her to buzz
take
off.
Take your damn popcorn.
Yeah. Emma goes over to Clairvoyant. We find out the girl's mom's name is Denise, not Claire.
Right.
So Emma laments to their mother that their dad never picks her to compete with him in anything. We then see Sam competing in the wheelbarrow race and winning. She's given a medal and trophy and looks over at Emma and shrugs. Back at home, Jerry attempts to toss glass plates into the dishwasher, and Denise tells him to knock it off.
Yeah. What are you, nine?
Yeah. Also, I may get in the groove of reading that I may call Denise Debbie, because I thought her name was Debbie. And then Matt texts, he's like, I think Denise is really great in this. I was like, yeah. Also, I forgot her name was Denise. So I tried my best before Matt came over to change it to Denise. Yeah. But we'll see which Debbie slip in there. So back at home, Jerry attempts to toss glass plates in the dishwasher, and Denise tells him to knock it off. He says he's on fire. He and Sam dominated the picnic games, and now he wants to try his hand at plate tossing. Denise says, okay, sink those dishes. Once Jerry winds up to toss, Denise grabs a plate and calls him a dipshit.
May as well.
Yeah.
And it's just the start of, well, the whole Karnak thing was the start of, like, mom. In this, Denise is the best because she has the funniest bits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her line delivery is good. Mm-hmm. Her nonverbals are funny. Yeah. Like, it's just from the get-go, I'm like, these are good. Like, these are funny bits.
It's a good performance.
Yeah, it's a great performance. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In their room, Sam puts her newest trophy with all her other awards. And Emma says how she'll never get taken seriously in the world of sport. Sam says, come on now. You're not that bad. Plus, I envy your abilities to talk to boys. With the parents, they play grab ass on the way to the couch. Denise says to Jerry he shouldn't pigeonhole the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Sam has more to offer than just sports, and Emma could really use his attention. Jerry thinks Emma isn't interested in all that stuff and would just as soon go on the disabled list with a broken nail than seriously compete in real athletic competition. Denise says, speaking of competition, you're too competitive. Jerry says he isn't, and they get into a classic verbal joust of are not, are so, which ends with Jerry putting Debbie in a headlock and giving her a noogie.
Mom and Dad are great in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah. Back in their room, Emma says she's the only person to have ever struck out at T-ball. Sam says Mark McGwire did it.
Relevant.
Yeah, to which Emma says, really? Sam says, no, but he did use Andro, which was an over-the-counter muscle enhancer, not prohibited by the MLB. 12 years later, after...
It's true. It was legal at the time.
12 years later, after the events of this movie we're currently in, he'll admit to using steroids, but only at the urging of the St. Louis Cardinals, because they wanted to hire him as their hitting coach. Emma looks thoroughly confused, and Sam hits her head on a trophy she had under her blankets. Sam opened her mouth was open, but someone else's voice was coming out.
Yeah, the movie freeze framed for a little bit.
Yes, it's like the end of a St. Louis Cardinals.
It's like the end of Dragnet.
Yeah,
it's just the director's cut is added later.
Yep,
special edition switching goals.
Mm-hmm. The next day, as Jerry drops off the girls at school, they ask him if he can park further away next time. He says, oh, I see. Embarrassed by your dear old dad and his winning ways? I gotcha.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, yeah, sure. That's it.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, and he drives off revealing a large car wrap saying Jerry's House of Sports on the side of their van.
Yeah, it's not he's not playing a car wrap through the stereo.
No, it's how you wrap your car with those things. It's called Wrap, people.
Yeah,
W-R-A-P, like wrapping presents.
Like Christmas wrapping.
Like the holiday season where you can get your Booger Boys duffel bags.
Yeah, yeah, the hottest ticket to the holiday season.
Mm-hmm. The girls say he has a higher tolerance for humiliation, which I think would be a cool album title.
That sounds like a great album title.
Emma runs over to her guy friends, and Sam stands there by herself. The music softens as Sam gazes at her crush, awkwardly standing and staring at Emma and her group of friends.
It did. The scene did kind of carry on a little too long.
Yeah, it was like, who just stands there gawking at someone?
Yeah, you're in the middle of a parking lot, too.
Yeah.
All of you are.
Yeah.
Get to step in.
Move it. Yeah. In the next scene, we see the guy from the beginning of Batman Forever walking through
a sport. My shoes are melting!
I also forgot he played Phil Rizzuto in 61.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Alongside Christopher McDonald
and
Mel Allen.
Hey, that's my hearing aid!
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yep. That's what I'll always know him as.
Yep.
We see him walking through a sporting goods store, talking on the phone about kayaks. This is Dave.
Yeah.
Dave gets told off by the person on the phone, and he gets hung up on.
Wasn't that an Eddie Murphy movie? This is Dave?
Yep. That's Pluto Nash.
Oh, right. Sorry.
He says, why do these customers think they're always right? Jerry says, because they are, which is the biggest crock of shit. Exactly.
That's the biggest crock of shit in the history of retail.
Mm-hmm. The customer is not always the customer
or anything,
is not
really.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially when they're not right.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeremy is in a cheery mood. Jeremy? Where did I get Jeremy from?
I don't know.
Last week was Jeremy. Was their
was their friend.
Was their chaperone.
Yeah, yeah.
Jerry. Jerry's in a cheery mood, but Dave says, hate to burst your bubble, boss, but the store's soccer championship is about to run dry. The worst thing in the world has happened. The youth soccer league has gone co-ed.
We're going to have
girls.
I think only two or three teams have like a girl on there.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, I think they should have showcased some of the other girls a little more because you can tell the Hurricanes and the Buzzards are the teams the girls end up on. And the Hurricanes, you can clearly see there's, like, two other girls on the team.
Extras.
Yeah, extras, exactly. Yeah. The soccer league's gone co-ed. The involvement of girls is going to disrupt the entire fabric of all of youth sports.
You know how these movies go.
Exactly.
The girls are a threat to the boys being boys.
Mm-hmm. With girls, you get tears and drama and their moms. Face it, their store's winning years are over. Jerry says he's covered. They have Sam. That night, Jerry whines that Denise knows the league has gone co-ed, which his how-did-you-find-out attitude leads me to believe that he wouldn't have told her for fear of her making him involve Emma.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what, Jerry boy? That's exactly what she does. Emma walks in on her parents talking about the league, and Jerry tries to dance around it. He finally spills the beans as Sam walks in, and she says, awesome, she's tired of playing in her all-girls league. Denise then makes Jerry say how it'll be great to have both girls in the league. Now we're at tryouts, and a few coaches are hanging around. The only two coaches who are working as a team are approached by another coach scouting them with a video camera.
At a youth soccer practice, and no one bats an eye.
Exactly. They exchange some light teasing, and after a snide comment by the video camera coach, the coaching tandem tell him his plans could go up in smoke, with it being co-ed, and he has to pick girls, further showing the primarily female audience that they're lesser than and should stay away from boys' sports.
Mm-hmm. Now, granted, with movies with premises like this, mm-hmm. it ends up that the girls end up, you know, succeeding.
Right.
And the people who are detractors end up changing their tune.
Yeah.
That's obviously where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's still annoying.
You know, they kind of hint that, like, at the end, where those two coaches aren't in the championship. They're like,
you're not so bad.
It's like, I wonder what our secret weapon was, or I wonder what kept us out, and the secret weapon was having a girl. Like, that's kind of what they said. I don't know.
Sure.
It's not done.
I don't think that was
there wasn't
it.
As much effort put into.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that, like, kind of stick to the tropey things of a kid's sports mm-hmm. movie from around this time. But because it's the primary focus was the Olsen twins.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's, like, in the movie She's the Man, where Amanda Bynes, like, she wants to prove that she could play just as well, if not better, than the boys.
Yeah.
But she's not doing anything. She's doing it to show that girls, plural, should play with the boys, but it looks like she's trying to rally her team, but it's just her getting all the glory.
Yeah.
So, like, whatever.
Yeah.
What a wino. With Emma.
What a wino.
Yeah, exactly. With Emma and Sam, Emma is wearing knee pads. And, okay, so we're at tryouts. We see Emma and Sam now. Emma is wearing knee pads and elbow pads and is nervous about being a klutz. Sam says she looks great, but should lose the glasses. Now, this was written before I kind of figured that they're sunglasses. Yeah. Now she for sure will do poorly because she won't be able to see anything. Mm. This is before the time when hipsters made glasses just an accessory. Yeah,
the sun could get in her eyes.
Yes,
that's true. Joke still works.
Yeah, exactly. Now with Denise and Jerry, I keep thinking I'm going to land on a Debbie here.
I'll correct you.
Okay, thanks.
Maybe.
Now with Denise and Jerry, Jerry mentions that the teams are drafting players. Denise is taken aback and wonders why there can't be another way. Denise says Jerry better be picking Emma first, and he says she'll still be around later. Denise, ooh, almost got me. There's a Debbie. Denise says it defeats the purpose of including Emma if he doesn't pick her first. Jerry says Sam may not be around for very long, but Denise ain't budging. Jerry says okay, because he wants that nookie later. The girls kick the ball back and forth with one another, and an errant kick from Emma hits a boy in the back. He, Richie, as we'll come to find out, saunters up and starts chiding the girls, saying they'll be demoted to cheerleaders. Emma asks Sam if the kid hasn't had enough love growing up, which that's probably the case, and Sam says it's actually because his sister beat him up.
Yeah, Richie, who is also wearing jeans to a soccer tryout.
Right.
So who's the real dumb one?
Yeah, also, you're pretty close to a lot of people kicking the ball around, so don't throw a hissy fit when a ball hits you in the back.
Yeah.
As the tryouts go on, the head of the league says just because it's co-ed doesn't mean he's going to go easy on anyone. We then see a montage of kids missing headers, a child wearing a helmet, and Emma getting gassed during running drills. Next, we see all the players on the bleachers, and the coaches ready to make their picks. Jerry begrudgingly picks Emma, much to everyone's surprise. Even Emma is confused and asks him if he's sure. He fakes a smile and says, "Of course." During the other coaches' picks, Jerry tries to convince them not to pick Sam by making things up to throw them off. The two coaches on one team, the coaching tandem,
are they? I think they're supposed to be twins too.
I think they're supposed to be domestic partners.
That's what I have in my notes. Either they're twins or they're lovers.
Somebody can't just be friends with another man. You're either twins or you're lovers.
Yes. What strange two options.
What strange logic. Do two coaches on one team.
There can be platonic love between two grown men.
Yeah, it's in Wayne's World.
Yeah.
The two coaches on one team quarrel over who they're going to pick. And a British coach picks someone, and then the camera coach picks someone.
Yeah.
Sam is still available after all that, and just as Jerry's about to pick for round two, we hear another coach running up apologizing for being late. A portly gentleman eating an apple in a Hawaiian shirt. Not the rat guy either.
No.
In a Hawaiian shirt, asks if it's too late to make a pick. Jerry says Willard, the late coach, shouldn't get a pick because he's late. He's told to hush, and Willard picks Sam.
Yeah, they say, "Relax, Jerry. The guy's only a few minutes late." I was like, he's like 3 hours late.
How long have these tryouts been going on?
Yeah.
Back at school, the girls go through the lunch line, talking about Sam's crush, Greg, the gawking kid from earlier.
Yes.
Emma says they should just talk to him, and as they do so, Sam slinks away.
Talk, don't gawk.
Exactly. Thank you. Emma approaches Greg and says, "We would like to introduce ourselves," but Sam isn't there. Greg is confused, and he says it's nice to meet them. Emma and Greg hit it off, and after Greg leaves, Emma has a bone to pick with her sister. At the sporting goods store, Dave legit cries that the team is going to stink, and the store's reputation will be ruined. Jerry says, fragile men. Yeah, exactly. Jerry says they'll just chalk it up to being a rebuild year, and he'll just have to be a better coach. At the first practice, Emma asks her dad if he's sure about her again, and he assures her she's going to do great. Jerry hands Emma her jersey, and Emma says blue isn't her color. Jerry says she looks good in anything. She's then approached by Richie, corrected to Rachi.
Rachi the rotten kid.
That she hit with the ball at tryouts.
Oops.
He says he assumes they're on the same team, which,
duh. This is our team's soccer practice, you dumb.
Also, you were there when they were picking teams.
Also, again, he's wearing just like school clothes to practice. It's like, Richie, you're the one that looks like an idiot here.
Yeah, exactly. He says he assumes they're on the same team and she best stay out of his way. She asks him how he felt to get his ass kicked by his sister. He says his sister sucker punched him and she just got done serving time, so prison hardened her up.
She did a lot of pull-ups.
Okay, exactly. Anywho, we see Emma messing up at practice. Next with Sam at her team's practice, the Buzzards, she sees she's with all the rejects. Willard shows up and urges all the kids to warmly welcome Sam to the team. They start chanting, "One of us, gooble gobble, yeah. gooble gobble, one
to which,
of us."
To which I was like, I love a good group of outcasts.
Oh, yeah.
In movies like this.
Yeah.
Like the weird kids.
Yeah. When they start chanting, "One of us," everything starts appearing like it's through a fisheye lens, like the Full House episode where Uncle Jesse feels like he's being smothered. The audio then gets louder and starts peaking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just kidding. We see Sam's practice, and her team stinks, but Willard is fine with it, just as long as everyone is having fun.
What a breath of fresh air. What mm-hmm. a good man.
I think me now would have loved playing on Willard's team.
Oh, for sure. I wouldn't have cared about. Well, at the time, I would. Like you said, you now.
Yeah.
At the time, I would have cared about winning. Yeah.
They then run a drill and get a piece of pizza. Sam takes hers to a boy with headgear and taunts him.
Headgear and no braces, mind you.
Yeah.
He's just wearing headgear.
Yeah. And she doesn't really taunt him.
No.
She asks why he doesn't have one, and he says it's hard for him to eat. She then gives him her piece. He didn't say he didn't want one. He just said it's hard for him to eat.
Yeah. But so does he just not eat at all?
Never.
And also, again, headgear is usually accompanied by braces, and he has no braces on his teeth. He just is wearing headgear.
Yeah, and I know that's usually depicted as like when people have, 16 candles.
Yeah.
Like Joan... I almost said Joan Rivers. Joan Cusack's character is wearing headgear, and it's a funny like visual gag.
Trying
to take a drink, and she looks ridiculous. But like for real, did like people really wear headgear out? I feel like that was like a nighttime thing.
Yeah, like they wore it. I mean, maybe, but yeah, like you're saying, I feel like that's like you wear it at night and you sleep in it. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
yeah. The practice ends with everyone Mickey Mousing in a conga line. Funny enough, Disney.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At an arcade, Jerry beats
Being
a kid.
Goofy, if you will.
Ah, yes. At an arcade.
Really Donald ducking it up.
Yeah, which means, they would have shirts and no pants. But it's not that way.
No, I meant a play on, like, fucking it up.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
No, it's okay. Whatever. I wasn't very clear
at
about
an arcade. That's okay. At an arcade. Let's go to the arcade, shall we?
Yes.
At an arcade, Jerry beats a kid at air hockey and brags like it's some great feat. He then asks which one of these other kids in the place wants some.
That is kind of the attitude he's having.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, like, he's not, like, he's got sort of a, he's not, like, full-on pig-headed and chauvinistic. Mm-hmm. He's just, like, hesitant. He's just really competitive, and he's just hesitant with this idea of, like, girls participating just because he's so, his head's in the clouds mm-hmm. about, you know, but it's, he's not like this annoying, like, God, I can't stand this guy. Like, I like him.
Yeah.
And when his character learns his lesson, like, midway through the movie, and the rest of the movie, he's like a changed man, mm-hmm. kind of. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it's just the performance, but he's not like the typical kind of like, oh, he's real pig-headed and chauvinistic.
Right.
He's really obnoxious. He's not really, but, mm-hmm. but he definitely is like, you're not. Innocent.
They play up him being competitive.
Yes.
Really.
He's just like, uber competitive, and he's just kind of a doofus.
Yeah. Over at an arcade cabinet, Emma laments that, surprise, surprise, she ain't no good. And Sam complains her team isn't competitive, and all they do is just eat pizza. Emma thinks pizza at practice is so totally radical.
Totally radical, dude.
Cowabunga, dude. Cowabunga pizza. They then hatch a scheme that would have them switching places. Sam pretends to be Emma and vice versa. Which was the name of the male take on Freaky Friday. Male, quote-unquote, take on Freaky... Well, they were both male.
Yeah.
The male take on Freaky Friday, which starred Judge Reinhold and Fred Savage.
Ah, yes. Which one was Dudley Moore and Kirk Cameron?
Like father, like son.
Oh, right. Yes.
Pre-whack job Kirk Cameron.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. The girls think it's a perfect plan, except for one thing. Their mom. Next, we see Denise in the house looking around by a fax machine. The girls psych themselves up to lie to their mom, and as they enter the room, their mom asks how soccer's going. Emma says how she's making everyone miserable and how she shouldn't be on Dad's team, to which Denise...
Desiree? Where did that come from?
I don't know.
Maybe I'm thinking of a gal named Desiree.
Maybe subconsciously Desiree, the one that got away.
Sounds like the desert.
Which sounds like dessert, which makes me hungry.
Yes, I have not had lunch yet.
I just want a sweet treat.
Let's get through this,
okay? Okay,
okay. So Denise says, nonsense. Your father told me coaching you would be his main priority. Me forcing him to bond with you is the best thing he could have done. He told me himself under duress.
Yes, it's... That's... And I just had a note in here that, like, the whole team swap thing, like, they're like, let's switch identities, when really, you just going to dad, and dad going to the league, mm-hmm. and you going to mom, and saying, listen, here's the sitch.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you want, like, X, Y, and Z, but I'm not having fun. I would have way more fun with the team whose focus yeah. is having fun. And Sam, as someone who's competitive and wants to win, I'd have way more fun on the competitive team.
Yeah.
I know what you're trying to do,
yeah.
and I appreciate it, mm-hmm. but I feel like it's to the point to where, like, mom's more concerned with teaching a dad, a lesson
yeah.
than, like, because they do try and explain it to mom,
mm-hmm.
and but they just, it's like, emphasize it a bit more, because
yeah.
they do it, and then she gets interrupted, I think, and it's,
yeah,
and it's like,
yeah.
and then, or because she's like, you know, because with her work, because she's a psychologist, or no, she's a therapist.
She's a therapist. She says psychologist a couple times.
Yeah.
She's a therapist.
But, like, she had work stuff on those Saturdays, so they're like, oh, so this whole switching thing, because mom won't be at the game, so she
yeah.
won't need to tell,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
but,
yeah.
but yeah, I just think, again, things that could have been resolved or mm-hmm. figured out, but, you know, with just some quick communication,
mm-hmm.
dad go to the league and explain the situation
yeah.
and stuff like that. But we wouldn't have a movie.
Yeah, that doesn't really lend itself to hijinks.
Yeah, exactly. So I just got to remind myself, we need a premise for the movie. So,
mm-hmm.
of course, they're not going to do the most logical thing.
Yeah. Sam says she's sick of Willard's shit, though, and pizza practices.
Yeah.
Just when they're about to start tricking their mom, or as you say, trying to get it out.
Yeah.
Whatever. They're trying to trick her.
Yeah.
Darla, Denise, steps in.
These are names you didn't even have in there.
Yeah, steps in
Darla.
And says she's got some bad news. The seminar she's leading as a psychologist has been moved to Saturdays, so she's going to miss their games. The girls feign disappointment and then run off. Next, we see a little shithead played by young Michael Cera giving Dave grief while getting fitted for cleats.
Yes, kid's a real asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And the real Michael Cera, from what I understand, is a real asshole, too.
Doesn't surprise me, I guess. The girls enter the scene, and their dad is happy to see them. The girls then start telling him their plan. Emma goes to play for Willard, and Sam plays for him, being Jerry. While Sam is supposed to be at practice, Emma will go, and Sam will be at the library. Then Emma will do the same when Sam is at practice. Jerry isn't sure at first. He says it's just a youth soccer league, and it isn't that important to him, all the while his actions have shown the opposite. He pretends to be concerned about their mother and Willard and how they'll feel. The girls say Willard is laid back and clueless, and mom will be busy. Instead of putting his foot down and saying it's not right to lie and trick people, especially when one of them is your mother, he goes along with their scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Next, in their room, they switch jerseys and say how they'll pull this off like the great switch of second grade they had. At Sam's practice, as Emma, the goalie's a jerk kid, but it's Richie,
yeah.
and is mocking his teammates and being a dick as they take shots on him.
Yeah, this would have fooled nobody, by the way, because there's such a drastic difference in their abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, how did overnight Emma become good at soccer?
Yeah.
And vice versa. How did overnight Sam become terrible at soccer?
Mm-hmm.
Just then, Sam walks up to the line to take her shot. The kid says he'll save hers with no hands and puts his hands behind his back. Sam kicks the ball, and the color drains from the kid's face. He saves the ball, but is knocked into the goal. During the Buzzards games, we see that Emma's team is running into themselves and losing big time. The coach on the other team is the British guy from earlier, and he's on the phone with his pregnant wife. There's a joke with him that he's negligent,
yeah.
and there's one part where just for like a bit of comedy, just a random mother comes up to
yeah.
him and is like, so glad little Timmy plays for your team. I'd like him to get some British sophistication.
Yeah.
And he's like, you knock him over, you blockhead.
It's like, rip the head off, you blockhead. What do you think, this is a cricket match? Or
yeah,
something like that.
They try and do little things with the other coaches in the league. But we don't really need to see all
no.
these. I mean, I applaud them for trying to, like, oh, we saw this guy earlier. Here's how his team is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically just within the context of one of the Buzzards or the Hurricanes playing
yeah.
that team.
Mm-hmm.
So Emma ends up scoring a fluke goal and is hoisted on the shoulders of her team. I will say, too, it's small, but there are several fade-outs, which are cues to
commercial breaks. Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I just like that.
It's nice.
Every time it would happen, I'm like, switching goals. We'll be right back on the Wonderful World of Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And then some commercial about
pores and like cleaning up your pores and skincare or whatever.
Yes.
The next day, the girls are sneaking out and are caught by their mom. Sam says she's going to the library, and their mom says, since when does she hang out at the library? Sam says she knows nothing about the Dewey Decimal System, to which her mom says, you and me both. Not just you, Denise. Most people didn't and don't.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, we start getting our obligatory Alexei Lalas mentions. The scene opens with the 90s soccer star teaching kids headers.
Oh, yeah.
The girls, Alexei Lalas. Who was Alexei Lalas?
Alexei Lalas, at the time, and I guess beforehand, was a very famous American soccer player, played on the U.S. national team, did songs for the Big Green soundtrack.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He's a commentator now.
It definitely was kind of those, they could get Alexei Lalas. And obviously, they just having him there was enough because it's a soccer movie.
Yeah,
people who are soccer fans would know who he is.
Yeah, and just so they can put it on the VHS box.
Yeah,
with Alexei Lalas, like with
Just for Kicks,
with Kobe
the hilarious
Jones.
Appearance by Kobe Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, essentially, it just felt kind of out of place because they're like, we don't really have a place for him, so let's just have him practicing headers with the kids.
Yeah,
and if you don't know who he is. One of the Olsen twins is like, hey, who is that? It's like, oh, that's Alexei Lalas.
Yeah, and it's like you think they would at least create a moment of fanfare for him because why is Alexei Lalas randomly at a kid's soccer practice?
Yeah, well, and then they did like...
At the coach's meeting.
Yeah,
because both are so quick that it's like, well, there's the obligatory Alexei Lalas stuff.
Yeah.
So 90 soccer star teaching kids headers. The girls are on the bleachers, are talking about their experience on their teams post-switch. Sam is saying how she's making Richie look like a fool. And Emma says that Richie may be an asshat and has been nothing but condescending to her, but he's kind of cute.
He's kind of cute.
Which is so dumb.
Little girl.
The girls then turn their attention to Alexei. Emma says, who's the walking, talking drug rug? And Sam says, that's Alexei Lalas, and he's damn good. Emma says, he's cute, too, and jokes if maybe they could get him to play for one of their teams. Sam says, ha-ha, yeah, right. Next, we see
that's silly. He's a man. He's a grown man. He's a grown adult man.
Yep.
Next, he could be our teacher's age.
Yes. Next, we see the coaches meeting to talk about the season so far. The league president lays out the records on a chalkboard, and the British coach says Jerry's team, the Hurricanes, are 4-0. Surprise, surprise. The partner coaches ask themselves how Jerry turned Emma into Pele. The other coach says, you mean Alexei Lalas.
There's another
one. Yeah, they then bicker on who was better, and it's such a stupid argument that it isn't even a good comparison.
No, Pele.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, yeah, but if Alexei Lalas was playing in Pele's time, he would be better. It's like, no, he wouldn't.
No. You're blowing smoke because you got Alexei Lalas for the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it for that scene. They tried to not make it seem so apparent. They were trying to like beef up Alexei Lalas by saying, you know, Hurricanes are winning and trying to make
something human product placement.
Yeah.
Product placement of the product, Alexei Lalas.
But that's it. He's never mentioned again.
Nope.
He doesn't even show up at the end where he's like, congratulations, girls.
I wish I could play like you.
Mm-hmm.
Wish I could look like you,
Can
too.
Can I be you when I grow up?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Full House.
Yeah. Denise sees the Hurricanes are 4-0, and even she's surprised. After the Hurricanes practice, Richie, I put the goalie in there until Richie, because I forgot his name. Richie says he still hates Sam, but she's turned into a good player. We then see Greg walk onto the field with his bike and calls her name. However, since it's Sam, she doesn't answer. Greg thinks she's ignoring him, but then she realizes he thinks she's Emma because he doesn't know Emma has a twin. So Sam is Emma to him because when he met the real Emma, Sam skedaddled. So he doesn't know there's a Sam. He only knows Emma.
Yep.
Everybody got that?
Yeah, exactly. Which in my experience, even when someone calls me your name, I still respond.
Yeah, because I feel like a jerk if I don't.
And basically because my thought is always, I know what they mean.
Yeah.
They think I'm Steven.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll still respond and like, oh, hey, it's like, I'm not Steven. Why did you respond?
I don't know.
Listen.
I wouldn't feel right ignoring you.
Mm-hmm.
I have that written down here. I'm not being dismissive
of
you.
No, of course.
Anyway, he asks Sam out thinking she's Emma, to which she accepts, but under the pretense that she's Emma. That night, Denise praises... I thought that said praise to God.
Yeah.
That night, Denise...
Please, God, make me a bird so I can fly far away.
That night, Denise praises Jerry for being able to bring the best out of Emma. Sam then tells Emma Greg asked her out, and Emma teaches Sam how to act on a date. Next, we see Greg show up to the house, and Emma answers. She's surprised because they said they'd meet at the arcade. Greg says he wanted to surprise her, but she says, "Un momento.
How did you know where I live?"
Yeah. She needs to get ready. She races up the steps, and Denise greets Greg as well. Sam comes down as Emma, and both Denise and Greg comment on how quickly she changed. She shrugs it off, and they both leave. Denise says, "Bye, Emma," then has a moment of confusion and says to herself, "Sam?" Because I don't think their dad counted on the fact that their mom probably can tell them apart more than just physically.
Yes.
Greg and Emma, quote-unquote, start walking and talking about how much academic pressure they're under already as junior hires. I'm guessing they're just going to walk to the arcade.
It's fine.
Yeah, whatever. While eating, the two have a rocky time as Sam and Emma.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry, everybody. Says she won't have any of Greg's pizza because she...
Greg's pizza.
Because she doesn't want cheese stringing down her chin. Greg asks if he has any, and Sam... I combine their name.
Says,
"No, you're looking good, Greg." Greg then suggests they play video games. We then see Sama demolish Greg at air hockey, and he seems emasculated. Mm-hmm. The two then walk back to Sammy's house. Sam tells Emma she doesn't think the date went well. Skip to Denise telling someone on the phone she needs to go to the library for something involving work. There, she runs into Emma doing homework. Mm-hmm. Denise asks why Emma isn't at practice. Emma says, "Oh, yeah, soccer. The game formerly known to our European brethren as football."
Yes.
Denise says
she just starts going over the whole history to try.
Read in this book here.
Yeah, to throw off the scent.
Yeah. Denise, yeah, she'll get that. Yeah, that's the ticket.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
What's the ticket, Emma? Nothing.
Nothing. Let's go.
Denise says she'll take her to practice, but doesn't mention the fact that if Emma was supposed to be at practice, why her dad wouldn't have taken her, or in theory, why he would have dropped her off at the library instead of taking her to practice of the team he coaches. Anyway, Denise and Emma show up to Hurricanes practice, and it's finally revealed to Denise what's been going on. They both see Jerry cheering on Emma, but really it's Sam. He says, "All right, Emma, show no mercy." Over his shoulder, we see Denise and the real Emma, and Denise says, "Speaking of mercy, don't expect any from me."
Oops.
Then the troubling music from Full House plays as... when it comes back in for commercial. At home, the parents fight while setting the table for dinner. Denise asks Jerry what the hell he was thinking by trading the girls. He says it was their idea, but Denise lays into him, saying he did nothing to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to defend his actions by painting himself as this noble person who has to not only be a coach, but a motivator, a psychologist, and try to convince some teenager who would rather be playing spin the bottle to spend their time playing soccer. He's either talking his team as a whole, referring to Emma as some charity case, which also I would say most coaches do not try to be a psychologist.
Yeah.
They actually probably hurt their players psychologically.
Yeah. They have a very specific expertise.
Yeah.
And they try and stick to that.
And I don't know if I just said most coaches. That's not true.
Sure.
There are coaches, I think, that would care very little about your mental health.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Just focus on their agenda.
Yeah. Or your performance on the field.
Yeah.
That's all they care about.
Mm-hmm. Essentially, he's telling Denise she doesn't understand and he's a martyr. Denise calls bull and takes umbrage with him saying she wouldn't understand. At the coaches' meeting, Jerry is persona non grata. All of them are treating the trading of the siblings like it's a huge scandal, with the partner coaches arguing over what year the last scandal happened. Fellas, talk about it at home.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Over dinner or something.
Yeah, exactly. They are all disgusted with Jerry's actions, and he should be given the death penalty. Kick.
Yes.
The coaches also say how he's disrespected his friend Willard, who's been napping in his chair the whole time, and the sanctity of the game. The league president says because of his actions, Jerry should apologize to Willard, and the Hurricanes' wins are forfeited, making them 0-4 instead of 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
At home, the girls switch jerseys back and say it was fun while it lasted. They get in the van with their dad and say they're both going to quit. Jerry protests and says he shouldn't have gone along with the ruse, and they both need to see things through. He tells them both they'll find a way to make it work.
I do like that it didn't take until the end of the movie for the pig-headed dad to only see the error of his ways after he lost a championship.
Yeah.
He took accountability and he learned from his mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with, I mean, we've got like 40 minutes left in the movie, 35 minutes left in the movie. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just, oh, I lost, so I guess I can concede and say, ah, I guess I was wrong. He's like, I shouldn't have done it, you know? Mm-hmm. And for the rest of the movie, he's pretty like, he's pretty open to, you know, it's important for me to coach Emma, mm-hmm. not for me to win kind of thing. Yeah. Even though there's still little things here and there, he was like, ugh, but I want to win. But,
yeah.
But it's like, he's just, he's, his character, he's better now. It didn't have to take until the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Next, we see a card game with Dave and some of the other coaches. Jerry is having a card game with Dave and the other coaches, including the league, the head of the league.
Yeah.
They all say how it's understandable. Willard even says he had to lie to Denise. So that's not great.
I don't think, no, yeah. That's not true.
And Dave says he had to lie to all of his friends. Willard then asks what makes a good person snap. Jerry then says, he's their friend. Come on, don't gang up on me. He then wins at poker and rubs it in their face.
Not only does he wins with a full house.
Oh, yeah, baby. At Buzzard's practice, Sam bounces the ball off her knee. Three of her teammates, the heavy kid, there's a heavy kid earlier that they show up practice. Brace Face. Who wears the head
gear. Has no braces.
And Helmet Head, a kid who's wearing a football helmet the whole time, say they don't take it personally that she didn't want to play for them. They happily welcome her back. Willard calls the team in and welcomes Sam back, but also announces Denise is joining the coaching staff.
Who all of a sudden doesn't have those things on Saturday anymore.
Yep.
Absolutely.
But it's great. Yeah,
it's great.
Her presence
the
is great.
The stuff with Denise and Willard mm-hmm. is very good. Yeah.
On the way home, Sam asks her mom why she's coaching. Denise says she's always been curious about sports psychology. At Hurricanes practice, the jackass kid, Richie, says now that Emma's back, they'll surely lose. He then runs off, and Jerry comes up to Emma and says, don't listen to him. You're a part of this family, and you're a winner. What he should have done and should have been doing is telling the kid to stop talking to his teammates like that.
Yeah.
Next, we see Willard approach Denise, having some alone time reading a magazine. They have a little bit of small talk, and Denise mentions that she talks to people all day, and it's good to have some time by herself, hinting at Willard to scram. At Hurricanes practice, it goes back and forth between Hurricanes practice and this, so that's what I'm going to be doing. At Hurricanes practice, we see Emma not doing well and screwing up blocking drills. Back with Willard and Denise, they both sit silently until Denise asks Willard how he's doing. He says not bad, just his uncle who sponsors the team isn't happy with him. It's a mortuary that sponsors it. That comes up later. It's a little bit of a funny bit. Denise asks why he coaches, and he says he likes to teach the kids that having fun and enjoying the game is what's most important to him. Denise says that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Then he asks what a therapist does. Back with the Hurricanes, they're doing shooting drills, and Emma keeps missing the ball and kicking up grass clumps.
Which I have a problem with, because in the tryouts, she was kicking the ball, no problem. She was just kicking it. It was just errant going all over mm-hmm. the place, but she was still making contact. And mm-hmm. here, she's not even making contact.
Plus, that's a pretty big target.
Yeah.
Even if you top the ball, you still are...
You miss it entirely.
Yeah. And you're just kicking the grass up.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Back with Willard and Denise, she tells him what she does, and he asks if she interprets dreams. She says sometimes you can tell what someone is going through by what they dream. Willard then starts in about a recurring dream he has with his mother where they go on a ship in the 1920s. Denise asks if it's the Titanic, which is not the 1920s. And Willard says no, which is the correct answer. As he describes the dream, Denise continues to reference the Titanic. Willard contends it isn't the Titanic, and he says the end of the dream is him dancing with his mother in a ballroom. Then he's wrapped around her leg on the bow of the ship. As I guess is
he's
implied.
Like 3 years old in this
yeah,
dream.
Yeah, he's 3 years
it's
old.
Not him right now.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And it's and I guess it's implied they're doing the I'm flying thing like that Jack and Rose did in Titanic.
Yeah.
He asks what it means, and instead of saying something Oedipal, she just tells him to shake it off. He also asks if he could have an allergy, if it means he has like an allergy to cheese, because he says he has an insatiable appetite for it.
Yeah.
She asks if he has one right now, and he says yes, and she tells the rat to go get some.
Scram, rat.
Yes. Got a street rat. She then reacts like Willard's a case even she can't handle. Back with the Hurricanes, Emma and her dad patch the field with clumps she kicked up. She apologizes for being lousy, and Jerry says it's all right. She'll get better, and they'll find a role for her. Once Jerry walks away to gather up their equipment, Greg then rolls up to ask her out. He says she has a game. She says she has a game, so he says,
kind of demands they'll go out after the game.
Yeah.
She says she has to stick around to support her team, and he kind of gets short with her and says, look, I had a great time last week.
Yeah.
Whoa, calm down,
Jesus,
Greg.
Chill out.
Emma concedes, and now
no
a date
means
has
no,
been set.
Pal.
Yeah. Emma informs Sam she must have made a better impression than she thought because Greg wanted to go out that Saturday. Sam is bugging out. At school, Emma is talking Sam up and urging her to go into the lunchroom to talk to Greg. She tells Sam to talk about the weather, science, etc. Sam takes Emma's jacket and schmoozes with Greg. She then rushes out and Emma takes the jacket and goes in to continue the conversation with Greg and gives opposite answers that Sam did, like about the weather and like her preference and how she did in biology or whatever.
He's like, first you like the weather, then you don't like the weather, then you like science, then just maybe shake this guy off.
He's like, look, lady, you're driving me crazy.
Yeah.
Emma gets ready to admit to having a twin, but then there's a commotion in the hall. Two teachers having a fight. Emma sees Sam knocked over a bunch of silverware, and she's like, what are you doing, you klutz? I'm trying to tell Greg. And then Greg pops up and says, tell me what? To which Emma says she's a twin by the name of Sam for short. Greg looks none too pleased. Jerry and Denise are on a run, and Jerry says he heard she's trying her hand at coaching. Apparently not from her, because they communicate about very little. Denise asks if that's a problem, and Jerry says she's going to cramp his style. They argue about getting competitive and how neither one of them is, and they start shoving each other as they race away.
Mm-hmm.
At the Buzzards game, the team is playing terribly. On the bench, Denise asks Helmet Head some probing questions in a pretty funny exchange. She's like asking him questions, and he's like, no. And like some
she's
stuff
trying to psychoanalyze
like, are you bothered by it? No. It's like, do your siblings make fun of you?
I don't have any siblings.
I don't have any siblings.
Does anyone give you a hard time about it? Just my brother, Ken.
Yeah. I was like, that's funny.
And
he doesn't know what a sibling is. Mm-hmm.
It's
like, well, how does that make you feel? He's like, who cares what Ken thinks?
Yeah, exactly. She's into sports psychology. It's like, mm-hmm. maybe I can serve my purpose here. He's just like, I don't care.
It's like, how do you feel about your teammates calling you Helmet Head? He's like, what do they call me? She's like, Helmet Head. He's like,
cool.
Yeah. So it's a pretty funny exchange.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Also, not to be that guy, but that kid wouldn't have been allowed to wear a football helmet, especially later as part of one of the plays. He heads the ball
football.
In there.
Yeah. It's football.
No,
they,
I know.
They wear helmets in football.
No, I get
soccer,
it.
Soccer, soccer's football.
No, I get it. Wait, what?
Anyway,
that makes sense.
Yep.
But he heads the ball into the goal, and that's an unfair advantage.
Yeah.
Because he's using a football helmet.
There's also another unfair advantage here.
Plenty.
But later she asks Willard what being a coach means to him. He says it means telling them stuff. Denise asks, what stuff? He's like, oh, you know, just stuff. Tell them stories. Denise asks if she can try her hand at it. He's like, hey, they like stories, so you should have some pretty good stories. She calls the kids over and tries to help them visualize playing well. Sam translates that to she's trying to say they go out there and don't run into each other.
Yeah.
And they obviously still do. So Denise asks if the team has always been the way they are. And Willard says, yeah, especially the week before when Metal Mouth almost turned into a semiconductor during a thunderstorm. This gives Denise an idea. She calls the team over and she writes up a play. Next time they're on the field, we see Metal Mouth post up by the net, then uses his headgear to reflect the sun into the goalie's eyes. Blinded, the goalie allows a goal that was headed in by Helmet Head. The team celebrate the cheating and end up winning the game behind Denise, their new strategy genius. At the Hurricane game, Jerry mocks up a screenplay where Emma will distract the other team's defender. On the field, Emma distracts some poor kid who she thinks looks like someone else. Back at home, the girls pull up with their respective parents, but both parents say they won, and Jerry congratulates Denise for being such a great assistant coach. She corrects him and says she's head coach now. Willard couldn't take the pressure. At the coaches' meeting, the league president welcomes Denise to the fold and mentions how the playoffs will be a round-robin tournament, which is going to explain why one of the worst teams makes it to the championship.
Yeah.
Oops, spoiler.
Oopsies.
Denise says she'd like to say a few words and is cut off after a few words. Next, we see a montage of Jerry and Denise coaching. We see Denise starts becoming a psycho and Jerry having the cooler head. We also see Emma's role is constantly distracting other players by being personable and kind while her team scores. It's revealed the girls will play each other in the championship, and they want to help each other practice. Emma gets in goal and stops all of Sam's shots. Sam says she's a natural goalie, and they need to tell their dad. Emma says she doesn't want to disrupt the team's chemistry or something like that. At the sporting goods store, Dave is blathering about the new commercial they're going to film, and Denise shows up to tell Jerry to watch his ass. She then pushes over a rack of catcher's equipment and starts doing the suck it crotch chop.
Oh, yeah. She's sticking her tongue out. Mm-hmm. Going, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, exactly. It's the day of the championship, and the two partner coaches are bickering at one another that it should have been them at the championship game. All this right after our wedding.
Yeah, exactly.
But their kids were distracted by Emma's weaponized politeness. We see the girls walking to their respective teams and how their parents actually smiled at each other that morning. With the buzzards, Denise starts to lead the kids in stretches, and the team sponsor shows up and starts weirding everyone out. Denise stops him as he approaches the kids, and she tells the predator to scram.
Hey, you stay away from those kids.
Yeah, that was a funny reaction.
Yeah. I will say the British coach shows up to be a spectator, and I was like, his face always looks like he's doing an impression of Robin Williams.
Yep. That's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah.
With the Hurricanes, Jerry introduces the kid to Dave, who blubbers. At the coin toss, the Hurricanes goalie talks shit. Richie talks shit, yeah. And the bigger kid on the buzzards threatens to sit on him.
Yeah.
Next few minutes, we see an exhibition of both teams' goalies stonewalling everyone. And my question is, when did the buzzards' goalie become so good? He's let in like 6 goals a game.
Yeah.
After back and forth of 0-0 play, Richie the goalie dives to make a save and falls on his shoulder. Injured, he's benched, and Sam suggests her dad put in Emma. Being petty, he asks if that's a ploy her mom is trying to pull to win, which would be equally as petty and show Emma's mom even thinks she'd stink enough to make them lose. Sam insists Emma is good and give her a shot. Jerry calls Emma over and says he's putting her in net. She asks if he's sure this is an important game. He says brain surgery is important. Goalie is just a part of the game. The game continues and Emma stops Sam on the breakaway. The whistle blows and the game ends in a draw. Jerry shows how proud of Emma he is and is happy she found her spot. Denise is proud too and tries to get Jerry to do an overtime period just to get a definite winner. He says, nah, we'll share it.
I was like, can he make that decision?
No.
I feel like they would have to go into overtime. Like, I feel like they would need to have a winner.
No.
Whatever.
No. So Greg shows up, congratulates both girls, and asks Sam out on a date. Emma then goes up to Richie and says he finds her cute. She decides to double date with Sam and Greg, or Stan and Wendy, or Sid and Sue.
Yeah.
5 neat guys gold.
Yes. Nice reference.
Yeah. The final shot pans in from both teams posing together and freezes in on the Olsen twins. And that's switching goals.
Okay.
I would say it's inoffensive, but there actually are there's a lot of offensive things in this movie.
Yeah. Well, aside from a couple of the kids, the performances were pretty good.
They're fine. Yeah.
Just within the context of what this is, like just a lighthearted, straight to video, Wonderful World of Disney movie.
Yeah.
I will say, like, it's a 90s kid sports movie, kind of like what we were saying before with the Olsen twins. So it uses some of the tropes of both of those categories. And it's only 87 minutes, so the story moves pretty quick. There's no villain in the movie.
No.
When you think about it, because like these kids' sports movies, there's usually some kind of antagonistic powerhouse team. But even the stakes don't really matter by the end.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of rush through it. It doesn't even seem like they make a big deal, and they don't make a big deal about the championship game. And Dad doesn't even really care about winning at the end. So it's like, and even like during the game, he didn't really dip back into his old self to where Emma would have to be like, Dad, focus, remember, like it's about this, you know? And the game just kind of happened quickly and Rich, you know, it built to Richie leaving the game and Emma making a big save. And it's like you said, a montage of the goalies stonewalling each other. Even the taunting at the open of the game didn't really have an effect because the buzzards weren't there because of some fluke with the league or some other team forfeiting. Mm-hmm. Like, they won all of their games fair and square in that round robin. So there really isn't a sense of this antagonistic powerhouse making them feel like they don't deserve to be there because they're there. They got there the same way that the Hurricanes did.
Yeah.
So kind of anticlimactic, but, you know, I liked it.
Yeah.
A good a fine movie for a lazy Saturday or Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I liked it.
I think what would have made it a little better is maybe at practice, Richie hurts his shoulder.
Yeah.
And then Emma is the goalie the whole time, but that would have required, you know, filming, which was Ashley Olsen?
I don't remember which one.
I think Mary Kate. It would have taken I have a feeling Richie probably was an actual soccer player and like was doing, and you could get him to make those saves.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'd want to film extra Mary Kate or Ashley playing soccer. Yeah. They don't want to hurt their cash cow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So
it was all right.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah. Who knew Dual Star was Hindu?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you all for joining us into another entry into Septwember.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. As of this week, Jeff Wright from Jeff Wright Designs has our first draft of our 5 weeks of Fright logo.
Oh, yeah.
So we're very excited for when that drops to reveal it to all of you. He knocked it out of the park like he always does. Great job. Check him out on Instagram, Jeff Wright Designs. We didn't say check us out on Instagram.
Yeah, check us out on Instagram at The Radcast. It's cast spelled with a K. Radcast is all one word.
Mm-hmm. And give like and follow, review wherever you can. Give 5 stars on your podcast app.
Yep.
And I don't know how we can get it, but there's also on Spotify a Q&A box. You can have somebody comment on the thing.
Yeah.
The thing. The podcast. Yeah. You know, the thing.
You know, the thing.
Anyway, let's end the thing.
Yeah.
Thank you all for joining us. Until the next time,
be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. Because why would you want to be rude when you could be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.